when it was a seedy backwater colony going nowhere. But right now, a return to that state would have been a blessing. I consider it my priority to inform Kulu what's happened, and what may happen with regards to Latton and these possible Xenox in the Qualheim counties. Good. I have the legal authority to declare a system-wide emergency and commandeer any available starship. Hopefully it won't come to that, but I'm sending one of my officers up to a colonist carrier starship and diverting it to Avon. That's in hand now. The Eurydice finished unloading all its colonists yesterday. It only has about 50 Ivets left in Zeratau. They'll be transferred over to the Martine, where they will stay until Rexxu works out what he's going to do with them. Barring anything totally unforeseen, Eurydice should be leaving within another 12 hours. It'll carry my report to the First Admiral on a diplomatic fleck, with another fleck for the Edenist Ambassador on Avon. You can include a fleck to Kulu's mission at the Confederation Assembly. Thank you. Although I haven't got a clue how to compile a report like that, they'll think we're crazy. Kelvin glanced out at the rain bouncing on the dark rooftops. The simplicity of the scene made the events in the distant Qualheim counties seem surreal. Maybe we are, but we have to do something. The first thing our respective bosses will do is send back for confirmation and more information. Yes, I thought about that. We must have that information ready for them. Somebody has to go to the Qualheim counties. The Edenists are already on their way, but I'd like to send my own team. The Marines are itching for the chance, of course. Do you have anyone capable of performing this kind of scout mission? I really think we need to pool resources. I agree with you on that. Hell, I even agree with the Edenists. And he had to smile cynically at that. A joint venture would produce the best results. I have a couple of people trained to perform a covert penetration and scout mission. In fact, if you let me have access to the communication circuits on your Eland satellites, I can activate some assets I have upriver, see if they can fill us in on what's happening. I'll see you get that. Okay. I'll send my Lieutenant Jenny Harris over to supervise the operation. How are you planning on getting the scout teams upriver? Kelvin datavised an instruction to the office computer and a wall-mounted screen lit up, showing a map of the Julith Basin tributary network. The Qualheim counties showed as a red slash clinging to the southern side of the tributary. Willow West glowed a warning amber to the northwest. The next county along was outlined in black, the name Christo blinking in white script. A fast boat up to Christo County, then horses into the trouble zone. If they left by tomorrow, they ought to arrive around only a day or so after the Swithland and its posse, perhaps even a little beforehand. Couldn't we airlift them in? I can obtain one of the BK-133s. They could be there by tonight. And how would they get about? This is a scouting mission, remember. You can't take horses in a VTOL, and nothing else can get through that jungle. Ralph scowled at the map on the screen. Bugger, you're right. Hell, this planet is bloody pitiful. Convenient, though. One of the few places in the Confederation where 1,000 kilometers makes a mockery of our usual transportation systems. We're so used to instantaneous response, it spoils us. Yes. Well, if any planet can bring us back to fundamentals, it's Lalonde. The bundle of mayop trunks on the payload handling truck had been assembled by the ground crew in one of the spaceport's hangars. A simple enough job, even for this planet's meager cargo preparation facilities. The trunks were almost perfectly cylindrical, a meter wide, cut to the same 15-meter length. Bright yellow straps held them together. 10 load pins had been spaced correctly around the outside. Yet, so far, 2 of the bundles had fallen apart when Ashley used the MSV's Waldo arm to maneuver them from the space plane into the Lady Macbeth's hold. The delay had cost them 8 hours, and replacement wood had to be ordered and paid for. Since then, Waller had inspected every bundle before it was loaded into the McBoeing. He'd sent 3 back to the hangar to be reassembled after he found loose straps, his enhanced audio senses picking up the ground crew's grumbles when they thought they were out of earshot. but this bundle seemed satisfactory.